of November, the day after Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. Boy, I ate Thanksgiving dinner, did good, down at Bev's sister's. And then I come home and slept for 2 days. So I don't know what the turkey does that to me or what. So let's open our Bibles. I don't have a diving board to jump off of for this message, but we want to thank, just give some more thanks today. And I want to give thanks for our relationship. So let's start in Romans chapter 8, probably a good place to start. Let me look at my outline, make sure it's someplace in my message. Romans chapter 8. I love Romans chapter 8. It's got more marks in the margin of my Bible probably than any other book. Romans chapter 8, again, is dealing with some tremendous things that we have. Notice the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Boy, it's good to be in Christ for Thanksgiving, and that makes our Thanksgiving all the more thankful. No, all the more receptive, all the more expected, but we have much to thank the Lord for. And so we want to thank the Lord for relationships just a little bit today, and I want to talk for the next 30 minutes about some relationships. And here's one of the most precious, again, that we want to look at, and that starts in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. You follow along in your Bible. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And let's read again about a father relationship that we now have. If you're here and you're a born-again Christian, you have a new father. And I know some of you have had excellent fathers, but listen, this is a father that's better than any earthly father we could imagine. So let's look at that relationship first, out of Romans chapter 8. You follow along in your Bible as I would read, starting in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is kind of a term of endearment, like we would say daddy type of relationship. Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Father, praise You again, and thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the relationships that we'll examine here today. And thank You again, Father, for all that they mean to us. We'll give You praise now again for touching our service, touching Your words, touching each heart that's here, and causing again that our thanksgiving would just overflow into our week, even this week. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask my wife to come on up here and read a poem to kind of start off this message about Thanksgiving. And I trust, again, you've all had a great Thanksgiving and spent it giving thanks. I know some have filled out one thanks a day for the whole month of November. That's a good practice to get into. And we've got a good poem that'll help us with that Thanksgiving. Beverly, I know you would have.
It's entitled Always Thankful. It's easy to be thankful with the bounteous table spread, but could I offer sincere thanks for just a crust of bread? It's easy to be thankful when I'm feeling well and strong, but what about the pain-wrecked hours when time seems oh so long? It's no effort to be thankful when the sun shines all the day, but how about the other times when skies are gloomy gray? It's no effort to be thankful when all things are going good, but how about the times when things don't go the way they should? When friends misunderstand me and so freely criticize, when someone I most dearly loved quite suddenly dies, when bills keep piling up on me until they're mountain high, where I can't seem to get ahead no matter how I try. In everything give thanks, I read, and this I know is right. The sacrifice of praise to God I know is His delight. So help me, Lord, to do the thing I know that pleases Thee. Count my rich blessings every day and always thankful be.
Amen. All right. Thank you, honey. Bonnie. Appreciate that. And we just celebrated before Thanksgiving, our 44th wedding anniversary, and appreciate again my wife and give thanks for her. Let's go ahead and look at this idea of relationships and giving thanks. First off, again, there's much in the Bible about Thanksgiving. I'd rather read some obscure verses, perhaps. In the Old Testament, starting in 2 Samuel chapter 22, says, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." 1 Corinthians 16 continues with that theme. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise." And then Psalms 136, verse 26 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." We have much to give thanks for. Last week we preached a message about giving thanks for being part of the pillar and ground of truth. It's good to be in a church that stands solidly on the Word of God and nothing else. No traditions, and sets aside all the other things and says, we're just going to, never mind political correctness, we're just going to do what the Bible says. And so a church that is a pillar and ground of truth is still something that we should always give thanks for. But also, we have relationships. And probably the, I guess when we say, well, let's give thanks for something, the first thing that's going to come up is usually, what, things? I think we made a list out here on Wednesday night. Things, again, that comes up. We give thanks for things, for resources, for where we're born, for being in this great country. But again, around there someplace is going to come to mind of relationships. Life is relationships. Our life is relationships with others. It starts from the very beginning. And so let's go ahead and look at some relationships that we should give thanks for and kind of emphasize them here in this message. First off, praise the Lord if you have parents. If you got here without parents, then I don't know what to tell you, okay? But listen, we have parents. And of course, Ephesians chapter 6, again, covers your relationship, I trust, with your parents. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, make sure we can find that in our Bible, have it marked. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Notice that there's no stipulation that stops when you turn 18. Again, and so we have parents. We're to honor our father and our mother throughout our lives. We have a relationship. And no matter how old you are, you're still going to be mommy's little boy or mommy's little girl. And our parents, again, if they're still on this side of glory, understand that we want to, again, honor them. And we have a relationship with them. And let me just go ahead and say that sometimes it takes work. All of these relationships we're going to talk about, it takes an effort on your part to make these relationships what they ought to be. And again, it's something that always needs a little maintenance, always needs work, needs to be cared for. So we have parents, and we're told there that, again, we're to honor our father and our mother. Even if our parents weren't the best, even if our parents had failings, and they did, okay? But again, understand that we're to honor our father and our mother. We're to have a relationship for life with our parents. And notice again that relationship involves a respect and an honoring of them. You know, Jesus had parents. We can learn some things about what the Bible says about Jesus' relationship with his parents. In Luke chapter 2, it says, "And he saith unto them, How is it that ye sought me?" Talking to his parents. "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Notice his father was there, and he said that he needed to be about his father's business with a capital F. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's amazing how many children know more than their parents. So when you think that, I want you to remember what Jesus did. He was still subject to them. And I won't debate the fact whether he knew more. He knew about what he needed to be doing again. But he was subject to his parents. And we can learn something in that relationship. And then as I read in Romans, there's no better relationship than the relationship we can have with God as our Father. I had several verses to look up, and I didn't get them all looked up this morning, but there's a prayer where Jesus gives an example of why we should pray, and the father, that a child would go to his father and ask him for, I forgot the syntax here of all of it, but would ask him for bread, and his father would give him a rock. He would ask for fish, and his father would give him a scorpion. No, a father knows how to give good things to his children. And your Father, your heavenly Father, is greater than any earthly father. And so an earthly father who knows how to do right is certainly a tremendous blessing. But again, God is our Father in that tremendous relationship. Some never had a right relationship with their father. When they get saved, praise the Lord, they've got a new father with a perfect father, and they can have a right relationship with that father. And so again, when we understand that Jesus or God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, then we ought to give thanks for that relationship. We can give thanks for our earthly father, even in their shortcomings and failures. And let me also go ahead and say that we need to have a great big heart of forgiveness. What did Jesus say about those that would not forgive their brother? Then he won't forgive you of your trespasses. And listen, it holds for these relationships as well. If you won't forgive your father, then he won't forgive you. We need to have a forgiveness even for the shortfalls of our parents. And so notice that relationship, and I trust that many here have given thanks in this past week for the parent relationships that we do have. Secondly, some of us turn into parents, okay? And suddenly, I remember saying, and I wrote my dad a letter, in fact, you know, that my dad got a lot smarter when I had children. My dad sure learned a lot after I had children. All of a sudden, he knew a lot more than I thought he did. And so when we take on the role of parents, suddenly we learn some things about parenting that we had never realized before. We take on, again, a whole new look at the world to understand that we are now responsible for rearing up and nurturing a child again. And so parenting, that relationship, if you have children, if you're a parent, the Bible says give thanks in everything, even for those little brat children sometimes, all right? Always giving thanks. And here, again, giving thanks for our children. Bible says in Ephesians 6, continuing on where we left off there, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train up a child," it says in Proverbs, "in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And so again, notice again that that is a measure even of our own failings when we see departures of our children. And so again, understand that parenting is a tremendous responsibility, but it's a tremendous blessing. And it's something that we want to always give thanks for. The miracle of a birth and a child being brought into our homes, into our relationships. Second relationship that I have listed here, I just kind of, I don't know what order I put these in, but praise the Lord for brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord for brothers and sisters, okay? And if you're here and you're only child, then praise the Lord for brothers and sisters anyway, all right? There's some things that we need to learn again that we can only learn from brothers and sisters. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, And I always like this verse, although I never completely understood it. Friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It is through your brothers that you learn to fight. Not only that, you learn to fight clean. Okay? I hope, I expect again. If you fight dirty with your brothers, you're not in for a good standing for very long again. And so you learn some things from your siblings, your brothers and your sisters. You know, we learn to share because of our brothers, because of our sisters. That's where we learn to share. We learn to share mom and dad's attention span again. We learn to share everything in life, and sometimes we don't learn it well, but we learn to share through brothers and sisters. Are we listening, girls? Don't miss this part, okay? Our brothers and sisters teach, through our brothers and sisters, we learn not to lie. You tell a lie, your brothers and sisters, they'll tattle on you, okay? It will catch up to you faster if you have brothers and sisters than if you don't. And so again, we learn some things just by having brothers and sisters around. We learn not to cheat. We learn not to steal. There's things that your brothers and sisters will teach you, even if it involves the title tattletale, okay? There's things that your brothers and sisters will teach you that you just don't get from too many other sources. And so again, there's lots of things that we learn from our brothers and our sisters. I'm going to leave this one out. Through our brothers and sisters, we learn to love. Okay, you've heard it said that you can... If someone attacks your family again, then they've attacked you again. When someone strikes your brother again, then they're attacking you again. And we learn a brotherly love. We learn a kinship. We learn a love for siblings again that's not learned in too many other avenues as it is in our brother and sister relationship. Did Jesus have brothers? Well, yes, he did. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6 and not miss this one. So I'm again leave this one out because it doesn't fit their religion. But again, the Bible's pretty clear here. Mark chapter 6. Look with me at I start in verse 3, I guess. We have again Jesus doing miracles, and here's what they said of him in his hometown of Nazareth. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. Notice again that he did have brothers and sisters. And he grew up with them. He was the oldest. Mary had other children again. And so she did not remain Virgin Mary all of her life, despite some teachings of other religions that we know of. And so notice here again that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And you can learn some things even in the fact that he got along with his brothers and sisters. Notice also you can learn some things about him being a son there and the fact that he grew up to be a carpenter. He said at 13, I need to be about my father's business, but instead he was about Joseph's business all the way up until he was in his 30s. And so there's things again about our brother-sister relationship certainly that we can learn. And then what are we going to learn about that from God? Well, certainly we all are familiar with the verse. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And notice again that relationship, a brother relationship is what we have. Even as we read in Romans there about our Father, we are now joint heirs with Christ. He is our brother, if you could imagine that relationship. And so we learned some things about our relationships with brothers and sisters. And I trust you spent some time giving thanksgiving for your brothers, for your sisters here during this time. Now, when we grow up, sometimes we grow distant to our brothers and sisters. But I trust that we never grow hostile to our brothers and sisters. And if we are, boy, again, let me say that life is filled with relationships, and it takes effort on our part. It takes work on our part to keep those relationships what they ought to be for a Christian. And so make sure, again, we even give thanks for our relationships with brothers and sisters during this time and fix them where we can. And then let me go ahead and say one word, too, about raising brothers and sisters. I didn't get this in my notes. I'll toss this in for free. Remember Isaac and, who did he marry? Some lady named Rebecca? Isaac and Rebecca? How did they do at raising brothers? It is horrible, okay? If you're not familiar with the account. Their brothers were Jacob and Esau. And Rebecca loved Jacob. And Isaac loved Esau. And they built a contention between their two children. Let me say, it takes some wisdom in rearing children. It takes some wisdom in not showing favoritism. It takes some wisdom of spending time, equal time, with each one of them. And so again, the same is true for grandchildren, I'm finding. It's true that, again, you need to have some of that same idea. If you pick out your favorite grandchild, again, it does harm to the others. And so, again, watch for that. And remember Jacob and Esau. And then, how did Jacob do? He did a lot better at that, right? No. Jacob married Rachel, and along came Leah as well. And along came 12 brothers. And a sister. And notice again that Joseph was the favorite. And you find all the problems in the home and a dysfunctional home described because of playing favoritism in the home. As parents, or as your children are parents, we need again to be careful of that, about raising brothers and sisters. There's a talent there. I saw on Facebook two cute little kids in the family, and it said BFF. Of course, I'm not too much Facebook people, and so I don't know what a BFF is. And I was told that it is best friends forever. So let's look a little bit at friendship now. Having a friend, we've already mentioned that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we've also mentioned the verse that said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I want you to think about Thanksgiving for friends. It's good to have friends. I said in my lifetime I could almost always count my friends on one hand. A friend is someone that we have an intimate relationship with. Let me give this description of a friend. A friend is someone that you can tell your most secret dreams and fears to, and they will not hold it against you. They will not spread it around behind your back. A friend is someone that we can share an intimacy with, and a relationship of friendship that we can share what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And that's a whole different depth than talking about the weather. That's a whole different depth than talking about other people. That's, again, talking about a relationship with a friend that is indeed a true friendship. And notice again, if you have a friend... Let me let that hang for a minute, okay? If you have a friend, you ought to give thanks for a friend. It's good to have a friend, again, in this old world. Someone that you can just share things with. Someone you can get advice from and give advice to. Someone that they'll share anything with you, again. It's good to have friends in this world. And remember the proverb, if you're going to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly, again. And so, what's the song say? Guess I'll go eat worms. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms, okay? That's the song we often sang in the Rice's house while they're growing up. There's a lesson to be involved there, again. And it involves the idea that if you're going to have friends, you need to show yourself friendly. And then notice also that God, you can be a friend of God. Best friends forever. Listen, Abram, it says in James chapter 2, 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abram believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Listen, if it worked for Abram, it'll work for you. If you have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed into your life, then you can be called a friend of God. That's a big deal. Exodus 33:11, one of my favorite verses, says, Moses talked face to face with God as a man speaketh with a friend. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Notice that two things you see in that one verse again is that Moses had a relationship with God where he spoke face to face. And Joshua, who was the upstart under Moses, watched that relationship and developed that relationship. And you and I are to have a friendship with God that others can see and that trains even the lives of others. And we see that in Moses. It's interesting that that same chapter, Exodus 33, goes on to say in verse 20, and he said, God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Talk about a contradiction in the Bible. A couple verses previous, it said God talked to him face to face as a man speaketh with a friend. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cleft cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You cannot see God in all his glory, but you can talk to God face to face as a man speaketh with a friend. And so that relationship. And then, of course, we have in John, speaking about our best friend forever. Notice John 15. In fact, let's turn there in our Bibles. Gospel of John in chapter 15. And we'll take up our reading in verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Well, let's start in verse 12. This is my commandment. Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15 and verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And so notice again that we can be a friend of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, our Thanksgiving ought to involve our friends, but we always to never forget the friend that's closer than a brother. A friend that understands you, that has a more intimate relationship with you than any friend could. And then one more, I wanted to throw this in because we got time. And that is that we have relationships with our neighbors. Do I need to repeat the parable? Well, who is my neighbor? No, that is a good Samaritan. We just covered that in a couple this month, I think. Who is my neighbor? And again, you ought to praise the Lord for your relationship with your neighbors. And not only that, you ought to think about your relationship with your neighbor. And in that vein, let's go ahead and look over to the book of Matthew in chapter 9. Book of Matthew in chapter 9 is a very interesting accounting. You can see some things into the very heart of Jesus and indeed a command that's given even to us. Matthew chapter 9, and let's pick up the account in verse 35 there, just the close of this chapter. Matthew chapter 9, and look with me at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. And let me go ahead and say that you'll be a better laborer if you have Christ's compassion. If you can look at people with a compassion. Today we're looking at taking refugees from Syria. Again, that's all in the news and scattered over, and a lot of people are closing their hearts. And but by the grace of God, there go I. And boy, we always need to remember that. When you look at somebody else, our first thing is to judge them and say, ew, those people are abnormal. Like you're the only normal person in the room again. So again, understand that we look at others sometimes and judge them, and rather than having compassion on them. Rather than wondering, I wonder if that soul's ever heard the gospel. I wonder if that soul has a relationship with Christ. Again, the compassion that Christ had ought to be what we have for our neighbors. Isn't that the whole account of the Good Samaritan that we looked at? Was again that we would look on people and not consider them trees, not consider them resources, not consider them networking abilities. But we look at people and say, hey, I need to have a compassion on that person. I wonder about their soul. I wonder if they've ever heard the gospel. I wonder if they know the Lord Jesus Christ like I do. And we need to look at people with compassion. And so praise the Lord for your relationship with your neighbors. Or we need to work on our relationship with our neighbors. And see again if there can be some room for improvement there. When I think of neighbors, I think of our... when we lived up in Rome, we had garage door neighbors, is what we called them. Anyone ever heard that before? A garage door neighbor is a person that comes home from work, press a button in their car, their garage door opens, and they drive into their garage, and they press another button, and the garage door closes. And that's all you ever see of your neighbor again. And so it took a long time before we even found out their name again. So we had garage door neighbors. Very often in the military, all over the place, bouncing around. Even in the military, when we did not live on base, we didn't have a camaraderie with our neighbors. And we had to go out of our way sometimes to learn about our neighbors. And so garage door neighbors were not uncommon. And I want you to remember that you could be the same thing, even if you don't have a garage. That don't be a garage door neighbor. That they only see it when they come and go or whatnot. And so again, think of our neighbors and our relationship with our neighbors. And we could improve on a relationship for our neighbors. And we could praise God and give thanks for our ability to have that relationship, even in this context, that God might send forth laborers into the world. Well, the last one I want to talk about here is our relationship with a spouse. Would it be permitted if I called that the mother of all relationships? No, that's probably the wrong way to put it. But listen, if you think about your relationship with your spouse, you think about all the relationships we just talked about. And again, I want us to understand that a relationship with your spouse is a culmination of all of those relationships. There's no greater. You can't have a better relationship with a best friend than you've got with your spouse. You can't have a relationship with a father than the mother, your parents, your children. There can be no greater relationship than the relationship that you have with your spouse. And not only is it the culmination of all relationships, it is a culmination of all intimacy. There's no more intimate relationship. Remember, it describes that relationship in Genesis, and it says, and the man and the woman were naked, and we're unashamed. And listen, the intimacy that's in that relationship is not to be compared to any other. There's just no other relationship where we have such an intimacy. I'd like to read you a few verses, if you allow me, out of the Song of Solomon again. I've not preached through the book of Song of Solomon while I've been here for 18 years. And if I'm here for another 18 years, I probably still won't preach through the book of the Song of Solomon. But if you're here and you're married, I suggest you read it, okay? And I suggest you write it down, guys, and send it to your wife again, or read it to her. But notice what it says in Song of Solomon chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Chapter 7 and verse 6 says, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. Chapter 8 and verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. So again, the relationship we have with a spouse is unlike any other relationship. I know I'm talking to some here who have lost that relationship. I know, again, there's some, again, that look back and remember fondly that relationship. And boy, again, it is precious to have been in a relationship with a spouse where you understood some of the intimacy that's involved in that. And let us, as we give thanks for our spouses here today, let us just renew that intimacy again. I said when you have a relationship with a best friend that there's intimacy that, again, where you can just share anything that is in your thoughts, is in your failings, is in your fears. But listen, when you're living with somebody, you don't even have to share them out loud again. It's good to do that. But again, the intimacy that's built in that relationship is most precious. I preach about that relationship usually, again, through the whole month of February around here. And so you come back on February and we'll talk about some of that intimacy, but it is precious. What I want to do point out today is two things. Number one is you need to give thanks for that relationship. And you need to praise God for that relationship and work on that relationship that it would be all that it could be. There's nobody on this earth that you'll be more intimate with than with your spouse and that relationship. Woe be to the man when that relationship goes sour. And woe be again to those that let that fail again. There's nothing but hurt and dismay down the road for that. And so again, understand the importance of that relationship. And I like to go back, and Beverly and I were just teeny boppers when we met again, and we dated in school, and I married my high school sweetheart, and I'd like to go back and remember that. I like to remember some of the uncertainty of that relationship. I like to remember jealousy. I like to remember, again, being back and how I, approached that relationship. And I was thinking about that. Bill isn't here, so we can talk about Bill. He'll, Lord willing, be here next week. But I remember, and so a lot of you remember, when I first came here to pastor, Bill had his eye on Jackie, and just a twinkle in his eye. And Bill was an old man then. I think how old he is now. That was 18 years ago. But just watching old people fall in love, I guess I can put it that way. I don't mean any disrespect to Jackie here, but... you remember that relationship, and you remember you remember yourself being in that relationship. That's pretty much all you saw in life again. And listen, that's pleasant. That's joyful. I even bring that up for this reason, that listen, the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ pales that relationship. It says here that there's no other, if you'd offer anything in the world for that relationship, it would be condemned. In other words, it would. There's nothing that could buy the value in that relationship. What's the line on the commercial? Priceless, again, is what that verse is saying. And so, listen, the relationship that you have with a spouse, listen, it's tremendous. But it pales. And in fact, some of the whole Bible, again, time after time, talks about God's relationship with Israel as a husband and wife. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is described as a husband-wife relationship. And again, the intimacy, the tremendous insight that the Lord Jesus Christ knows me better than that woman back there does. And He still loves me. And listen, that intimacy, that relationship is, again, pictured in our relationship with the spouse. But boy, it's so much more precious. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with a spouse like that, understand that Jesus loves you in a whole different plane and a whole different level than you think of the song when we sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Boy, have us know that Jesus loves you. And again, that relationship, that intimacy, He knows you and He loves you. And again, I just wanted to emphasize this day as we give thanks, that we ought to give some thanks for relationships that we do have. We ought to give some repairs to the relationships we do have. And we ought to compare them to the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ has with us. If you're a born-again Christian, if you're here today and He's saved you, well, I want you to know that God is your Father and you've got a relationship with Him that's unparalleled by any father relationship. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you're His friend, you're His spouse, and you have a relationship with Him that would even pale in the relationships that we could have with the earthly spouse. Boy, again, the relationships we have with an earthly spouse ought to be and can be a taste of paradise here on this earth. As we give thanks in this month, even as we close out November, let's remember to give thanks for relationships. That's what life is really about. It's not so much about things as it is about relationships. Father, praise You again and thank You. Thank You that we could have hearts of thanksgiving here today. Thank You again, Father, for all the thoughts of the relationships that we've walked through here from Your Word and from our relationship with You. And Father, I pray again that You touch each one here, that we'd be thankful for what You've given, again, for parents, for children, for brothers, for sisters, for, again, a spouse. May our thanksgiving just overflow in our lives. And as it would, I pray again that You'd help us to carefully maintain those relationships. Relationships with best friends. Relationships with neighbors. May we again, Father, show Christ-likeness in every relationship we have. And we'll give You the praise. Thank You again, Father, for Your touch on relationships here this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead and turn in our songbooks to a hymn of invitation. And we didn't have one down here. Let's do 115. I think we just did that, didn't we? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. 115. That's perfectly fitting for our invitation here. If God stuck down your heart and something you need to bring to an altar, you do that during our invitation. If you don't have the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll get that fixed even today. And may God again tug on your heart that you have a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So He is your Father. And you are, again, a friend of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not your case, you can get that fixed this morning at an old-fashioned altar. If you have something to bring to an altar, you do that as we sing. 115, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I would love to tell you.